In this episode, Paul Kim and Sib Sibanda comment on the contemporary ideal of achieving work-life balance. Acknowledging the rise of mental health challenges in the workplace, they argue that work and life are not two opposing forces. So rather than pursuing that elusive balance as our North Star, we should aim for healthy work-rest rhythms during different seasons in life.
Welcome to Reframed. Join us as we explore the concept of redemptive business in our unique contexts on the African continent.
Hello and welcome to the Monday Christian Podcast. Today, we'll be exploring the all-important subject of work and rest. Now, Paul, many of our listeners will have heard this idea of the importance of pursuing a work-life balance, but I know it's not an idea you subscribe to. Please tell us why.
Yeah, Sibs. I think everywhere we look, not only in South Africa, but in the world, there's been a massive rise in mental health challenges, especially in the workplace, especially post-COVID, as people have come back, they have revisited what they're looking for in work. And this idea of work-life balance, which has been there for a while, has just become even more and more important in conversations as people strive for what they think is the solution to their problems. But as a Christian, I don't think that work-life balance is something we should be aspiring to because it's not the purpose of our lives. And so I think we should probably start with what Scripture says and then work our way from there. So in Scripture, we see this challenge to the pursuit of balance as the goal of our lives. You know, anything that isn't God should not be elevated as God. It's idolatry. Instead, we see an over-desire for pursuing God. Worshipping God is a full-time, full-space, and full-matter affair. You know, scripturally, we can go to Mark 12:30 for this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This really doesn't point to this idea of the pursuit of balance being the goal of life. And the pursuit of balance has no grace for imbalance by definition, where the pursuit of God does allow for imbalances because it depends on what you're going through and the context you're going through. And so I believe, based on Scripture, the pursuit of God is where we should start and then figure the rest out from there. Additionally, there are some other things that I have issues with the phrase work-life balance. Firstly, it's often seen as a tension between good and bad. Work is bad, and therefore you sometimes need to have good, which is life. And I'll use a line from Coca-Cola's website to illustrate the problem. Like all food and beverages, soft drinks with sugar can be used in moderation as part of a balanced lifestyle, as long as people don't consume them in excess. So this idea that it's, you know, it's okay. We all know that Coke is bad, but as long as it's consumed in moderation as part of a balanced lifestyle, it's not too damaging. It's not a picture that we see from the Bible at all. It's similar to this idea behind a yin-yang way of thinking, which basically says that bad is actually not bad. It's supposed to be there as a counter tension to good, and that's fine. We don't see any scriptural support for this idea. Evil is evil, and it's not supposed to be in this world, and we're not supposed to be okay with that. Jesus came to die and defeat Satan through his death and resurrection, and when he comes back, he will completely eradicate the impact of sin in the world.
So let me jump in there, Paul. What I think I'm hearing you saying is, so two kind of distinct issues, right? So the first thing is that, so as Christians, as people in business, and as Christians, we take this on. So we take on this idea of work-life balance, but it becomes a pursuit. It becomes the thing that we are trying to achieve, the thing that we are pursuing, the thing that we are going for, which puts it squarely in the realm of idolatry, because that becomes our ultimate, okay? And what you're saying, what I'm hearing you saying, I think, is that as Christians, that's not our ultimate pursuit. So our ultimate pursuit is God. And so this idea of balance between work and life isn't the goal. It needs to fit in within the context of pursuing God, okay, which is our goal. And then the second thing I think I'm hearing is you're actually now just questioning the idea of balance itself. Is that correct?
That is correct. So just to mirror what you said, the work-life balance is not the North Star, right. God is.
Right.
But I also believe that work-life balance is not the mechanism to get there.
Okay.
I think the Bible gives us an alternative picture that we should be aiming for that's more holistic than this very narrow-minded work-life balance idea.
Okay.
So that was just this piercing through this idea that there's these two opposing forces that must be held in tension. I don't think the Bible speaks to that. Secondly, just practically, it doesn't really speak about what is being balanced. We use it almost agnostically as if those two things that we're talking about are okay. But should KFC be part of a balanced diet? Or what about heroin? The word balance doesn't give you an idea of what should be balanced. Thirdly, proportions. Does balance mean 50-50 or 80-20? Again, the word doesn't help you in any way to figure out the proportions to the balance. And a lot of our listeners will go through seasonality in their work, in their lives. We're expecting our firstborn at the beginning of November. And by the time this podcast airs in February, I'm expecting to be a sleep-deprived shell of a human. My expectations are set pretty low, as you can see. Fourthly, balance doesn't account for the how. So I love Netflix. I think Netflix has something done something beautiful for the world in making a storytelling easily accessible. But it's one thing vegging in front of the TV for 7 hours, and another to watch 1 hour a day and enjoying the beauty of storytelling with your family. And balance doesn't speak to that at all. So you can go, yes, work-life balance, but you could be doing both horribly well to the extent that it's still negatively impacting your life. Fifthly, it's motivation agnostic. The Sermon on the Mount is a fantastic set of chapters to go through where Jesus basically goes to the heart. The Pharisees were pursuing a whole bunch of laws around the commandments that were given to the Israelites. But Jesus cuts straight to the heart. Balance, again, doesn't speak about heart motivation. And as Christians, we know ultimately that's what God cares about. And then finally, work-life balance is stated as if those are the two things that need to be counterbalanced. Work is an important part of life, and I don't think that the Bible speaks about it as a juxtaposition. And so maybe to kind of point towards a better word, I love the word integration, because it almost implies that there's a bigger picture that needs to be made. And an example that I've often used is, even though work, I believe, is a very big part of our lives, and maybe other areas are much smaller, it's like stretching for a professional athlete. It's a small part of their training regime, but if not done right, it destroys the results. And so, yes, it's a small part, relationships, other parts of life, but if they're not integrated well into your work or vice versa, it causes destruction.
Okay, so I'm just trying to work this through in my head, Paul. Again, starting from where you started about, okay, let's shift the center from the pursuit of life not being a balance, but being God and pursuing Him, right? So if that's our North Star, as you put it, then we come down and we start thinking about, well, how do I actually do that? And what you're saying here is, to think of that in terms of balance is unhelpful, because you go through certain seasons of life. For example, so I know you have as well. We're entrepreneurs. We've had times where we've started businesses, and so in that context where you're getting a business going and it's consuming, you know, 18 to 20 hours a day, how do you define balance, and how do you control, because you've got certain situations that are out of your control. And maybe for people who perhaps aren't entrepreneurs, maybe you're in auditing, for example, and it's year end, okay, and there's just work that has to be done. How do you think of this idea of balance, right? But so in that sense, balance itself can't be the goal, right? We've got to elevate it to something much higher, which the Bible gives us very clearly, which is actually we're here to glorify God. We're here to love Him. With all of our hearts, etc., and that the way we think about work, rest, family, and so on has to fit in within that particular goal. And what you're now saying is perhaps a better way to think of that, of the how of pursuing God, is what?
Well, it's. I think I ended off with saying it's closer to integration than it is to balance, and I need to substantiate that, right? So let's go back to God's word. So, if we want to talk about juxtapositions, what is contrasted? I think what is quite clear from the Bible is this idea of a work-rest rhythm. So work and rest being contrasted, definitely not work and life.
Right.
So examples, God rested on the seventh day. We're commanded to keep the Sabbath. The Jubilee laws of principles, again, the idea of seven and the seventh year being a year of rest. This would all support the idea of healthy work-rest rhythms. But I don't think that's enough. And we need something else to give us a better way of thinking about the how in our life. The Bible does speak of this idea of shalom. And I don't want to say it's an alternative to work-life balance, just because it's not like God saw that, everyone's talking about work-life balance. I need to come in and give them an alternative. It was there from the start. And yeah, shalom existed before this idea of balance. So I've been deeply encouraged and helped by the Bible Project. They've got two great videos on this, the one on peace or shalom, and the other one is on Sabbath, which are interrelated ideas. So this idea of shalom, people often interpret as peace, but the word peace in the English language doesn't convey its true meaning or shalom's true meaning. Peace is often neutral, as in the absence of war. But the biblical idea of shalom presented in the Bible is way more than that. It's also the presence of prosperity and wholeness, which is exactly what we see in the Garden of Eden, right? Just obviously before sin entered the world. And there you see a place of abundance, not just neutrality. And that's what shalom is pointing to. So my favorite verse, and I think I've used it a couple of times, Jeremiah 29 verse 7, also see the peace and prosperity of the city. And it's not just peace, there's peace and prosperity. And that, as my understanding goes, that's the word shalom. John 14, verses 26, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. That again is shalom. Another way of understanding shalom is this idea of wholeness or completeness. An example would be a stone that has a perfect whole shape with no cracks. And it can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps or no missing bricks. And so just a quote from the Bible Project video, the core idea is that life is complex. It is full of moving parts in relationships and situations. And when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored. And again, this idea of restoration versus keeping the two balanced. Shalom as a verb is quite interesting. It speaks of something like restitution. So Solomon completing the unfinished temple is an example. And if an animal was hurt or killed in a neighbor's field, giving them complete repayment for the loss would be an act of shalom, making whole again or making right again. And you see this in human relationships as well. And an interesting example is rival kingdoms. You imagine Ukraine and Russia at the moment, which is quite topical. For them to achieve shalom wouldn't be just that they'd stop fighting. It would be that they get into a space where they're actually doing stuff for the benefit of each other. Again, this idea of neutrality is not associated with the idea of shalom. And so I don't want to drag this out any longer. And I want to leave the audience with one final comment from the Bible Project. Becoming people of peace, shalom, means participating in the life of Jesus, who reconciled all things in heaven and on earth, restoring peace through his death and resurrection. So peace takes a whole lot of work because it's not just the absence of conflict. You guys will know if you've had an estranged relationship, it's one thing to become neutral towards them. It's a whole nother kettle of fish to go in and really want the person's best. True peace requires taking what is broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it's in our lives, our relationships, or in the world. And that's the rich biblical concept of peace. And my closing comment is that on that is, this is only possible if we have experienced the shalom first. And our source of breakdown is our relationship with God. We decided as humankind to break away from God. And then as a result, we broke the shalom. But Jesus allows us to return to a place where we have shalom with God. And from that shalom, it overflows into every other space in our life.
Okay, so let me try and earth this for us. And again, I'm trying to mirror what I'm hearing from you and sort of trying to think through what does this mean for me as a business person as I think about my life, as I think about how much time I'm spending at the office, how much rest I'm getting. So what you're bringing here with this word integration, which is obviously from the word integer, meaning whole, right, is taking a step back from your life and realizing that it is, and to quote that, to refer to that quote you used, these many moving parts. So having this awareness of having this holistic view of life. So it's not as simple as, well, I worked hard during the week and now I can sit and watch Formula One for the whole afternoon and I've rested. Mm. But it's also acknowledging that, hold on, there are other things in play. So for those of you who are married, right, there's my marriage relationship, there's my children, there is the work I'm doing with the church, there's generosity. So all of these moving parts and seeing them as an integrated whole, and sort of thinking, okay, so the goal of my life is not just to make sure I'm rested. The goal of my life is to pursue him, but in the how of pursuing him, acknowledging or being aware of the integral, the whole part of my life, and being able to respond as and when necessary to those different moving parts. So sometimes I have to work longer hours, right? But I'm aware at the same time that as I'm doing that, it's having an impact, say, on something else, like time with my kids and so on, and quality time and so on. And so I'm thinking through that as a whole system. So when I get home, I'm not just thinking about the weekend, I need to rest, yeah. But I'm thinking, okay, so now I need to pull this forward and I need to pull that back. And this, and again, not in, so in your definition of shalom, what I'm hearing as well is it's not just the static idea that, you know, there's within my sort of work, home, family ecosystem, there's stability, but there's motion towards glorifying God. There's flourishing, right? So it's not just that everyone's rested, but that actually my marriage is flourishing. My children are flourishing. My engagement with other believers is flourishing. And so on, and looking through and being present enough to be aware of all of those things and thinking, how is that all moving together seamlessly towards this goal of glorifying God? Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I just want to dovetail that with an analogy of making music. There are different parts of a song, and our lives are, in one sense, a beautiful song made to honor God. And you've got the bass line, you've got the vocals, you've got a melody, you've got a chorus, you've got the main part. And, you know, if you break down any song, any well-known song that's enjoyable, there is a way of destroying that song by putting the wrong things in wrong proportions.
Yes.
Like the bass line could be too heavy.
Yes.
Or the vocals are too tinny or out of tune. And what we have is using our life and the various parts in our life to put them together in such a way that it glorifies God. Mm. And you'll know, I mean, when I was younger, I loved a lot of bass. And all you hear is doof, doof, doof the whole time. But it gets monotonous, actually, after a while. Yeah. No one can withstand just one part of the song that they enjoy and just repeating that the whole time. Mm. You need diversity. You need complexity, ups and downs, and so on and so forth. And that's the opportunity we've been given. God has given all these different components to the song, and we get to put it together so that the end result is an unbelievably beautiful song, but to his glory, not to our glory.
I think I have a better word, symphony.
How's symphony, that? Yes.
Symphony, right? Because symphony isn't balancing the drums and the violins. It's bringing them together. It's integrating. Yes. And sometimes the drums are louder, sometimes they're softer. Sometimes the violin is strong, sometimes it's quiet. It's not balancing, it's the integration, yes. Right?
And sometimes the recorder does get a little bit to play.
Okay, Paul, good place to stop. We'll pick this up in the next episode.
Great. Thanks, Sibs.
Thank you for joining us. This episode of Reframed was brought to you by Ziwani, a community of business leaders who partner together to live out their kingdom calling in the marketplace within Africa. Ziwani is a Mergon initiative. To know more about us, visit our website at ziwani.com. That's ZIWANI.com.